I ask you to continue to be in a prayerful attitude as I endeavor to preach to you this morning. I have a mind today to read to you some scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'd like to begin in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, and beginning in verse 5. Y'all do remember the Apostle Peter, don't you? That great apostle to the Jews who stumbled his way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He made a lot of mistakes. He said a lot of things he shouldn't have said. But God had mercy on him and used him, just like he's having mercy on you and me. How many of y'all need mercy today? How many of y'all need grace? Well, I'm glad to tell you, God is rich in mercy and he is rich in grace. And we all need it, just as the Apostle Peter. But the Apostle Peter grew in his walk with the Lord. He matured. And, you know, it's interesting that we now have two books in the New Testament that were written by him later in his life. And I want to call your attention now to chapter 5 of 1 Peter, beginning in verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Now, in this context, the Apostle Peter is talking about the elders in the church, the ministers. And in verse 1, he said, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Now, that's interesting. He is an apostle. Do you know how unique that was to be an apostle? There's only 12 out of the whole human race. And yet, he would not mention the fact that he is an apostle. He just says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. This man has humbled himself and recognizes he's just an elder like the others, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So he's giving instructions to the elders in the church. And he says to the younger elders, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. So the younger preachers are to be submissive to the older preachers. Did y'all get that? And now I fit in with the elder elders. And the younger elders are to be subject to the older elders. But then notice what he says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you. The older elders, the younger elders, all of you be subject one to another. That's saying that I'm to be subject to the younger elders. So there's no big I's or little U's in the church. Amen? And anytime anybody thinks, you know, I'm above everybody else, he is in trouble with his heavenly Father. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with what? Fine raiment? With pride? With arrogance? Is that a becoming garment for a child of God to wear? No. He says be clothed. Now we know what clothing is. We are all dressed up this morning. Y'all look very nice in your outward garments, but there's an inward garment more important than your outer garment. And you know what that is? Humility. Clothed with humility. There's no garment on this earth more becoming to a child of God than humility. You and I are to be clothed with humility. Do y'all see that? For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, by the way, beloved, he says in verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, I may be wrong, but I don't think there's a scripture anywhere in the Bible that instructs, that asks God to humble us. But we are to humble ourselves. Do y'all see that? That's our job, to humble ourselves. And let me tell you, beloved, God does not like for his people to be proud. Of the seven things that God hates, do y'all know what is the top of the list? A proud look. That's not a becoming look to the child of God. A proud look. For a sinner like us, broken, wounded, dying sinners who are here but just for a moment, to look up into heaven with a proud countenance, let me tell you, that's sickening to God. You know, the book of Revelation tells us that the church at Laodicea made God sick. How would you make God sick? By thinking that you are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That is obnoxious to God. When he looks down here and sees us as worms of the earth, we are but here but for a moment and then we're gone. And for us to look up to God as though we're something in ourselves, that is obnoxious to God. So he resists the proud. Now, can God resist the proud? After all, the proud probably, from a natural standpoint, has a lot of influence among men, maybe a lot of wealth, a lot of power. Can God resist the proud? Yes. We have an example of it in the Old Testament. Nebuchadnezzar. How many of y'all remember Nebuchadnezzar? His daddy was king of Babylon. Now he's king of Babylon, and he becomes the wealthiest man and the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time. Babylon was the greatest kingdom among all kingdoms of this earth. And Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful man and the richest man and the most powerful man on earth. And he was full of pride. He built a 90-foot statue of himself, and he wanted everybody in the kingdom to bow down and worship him. And if you didn't, you ended up in a fiery furnace or in a den of lions. This man was powerful and rich. Can God humble this man? Well, he can, and he did. He sent Nebuchadnezzar some warnings. Talking about Nebuchadnezzar's riches, you remember the Hanging Gardens of Babylon? One of the seven wonders of the ancient world. Now, let me tell you, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon were right in the same category with the great pyramids of Egypt, which were another part of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This garden was incredible. Nebuchadnezzar had married a wife from the mountainous country, and of course, Babylon was very flat, and so he builds a mountain. And he has irrigation water forced up into the mountain to water these beautiful flowers that he had brought from all over the world. It was an incredible, breathtaking sight to see the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And old Neb would walk around and he would brag and he would say, look at all that I've done. This is great Babylon, which I have built. And God is looking down on him, and God sends him a warning, and he doesn't pay any attention to it at all. And finally, God humbles him. And do y'all remember how God humbled Nebuchadnezzar? He took away his right mind. Now, I want to tell you, that's a serious thing. When human beings lose their sound mind, their right mind, that is horrible. And he goes out there thinking he's an animal. And he's eating grass like an ox on the hillside, and nobody's grooming him. His fingernails grew like claws. His hair grew like feathers. The man was not in his right mind. And you know how long that lasted? 7 years. Can God humble the proud? Yes, sir, he can. And Nebuchadnezzar is an example of it. And when old Neb got his right mind back, let me tell you what, he was talking straight, wasn't he? He said, God works his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what are you doing? I want to tell you, beloved, it's dangerous to be proud. And you don't have to be old Neb to be proud. You don't have to be the wealthiest, most powerful man in the world to be proud. You can be proud. Everybody in this house today has got the potential of being proud. Carried away with yourself. And that's a dangerous place to be. Amen. And the Apostle Peter, I think, had struggled some with that in his own walk. You remember in John's Gospel, over in the latter part of that Gospel after Jesus is resurrected, and Jesus is telling Peter about how his life is going to end, and you're going to suffer greatly for my sake, and you're going to die a horrible death. And old Peter got a little bit hurt and looked over at John and said, Lord, what about this man? Well, what's he got to go through? And you remember what God said to him? He said, what is that to thee? That's none of your business, Peter. I want to tell you, when you and I get meddlesome and we start looking at other people's lives and trying to interfere with their lives and think we are kind of, beloved, you and I don't need to. I tell you, one of the greatest blessings in life is to know what your business is and what your business is not. Amen? How many of y'all are good at that? I remember the little sign Annie Merle had in her little shop or store out in Allentown. It said, a lot of the world's problems come from a lack of business sense, knowing what is your business and what is not your business. Boy, is that wise. Don't meddle in other people's lives. Don't meddle in other people's kids or jobs or go around judging like, you know, you're Mr. Judge and all that. No. And the Lord put Peter in his place and said, what is it to you? John is mine. And if I want him to live till I come back, that's my business, not yours. Woo. I like that. How many of y'all want to stay in your place? That's a safe place to be. Let me tell you, beloved friends, you and I just need to learn to cast our cares on Him instead of trying to carry everybody else's cares. So let's read on now. Here in 1 Peter chapter 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, I enjoyed last Sunday down at Trail Branch. It was a general meeting of our five churches here in the Ebenezer. And I love when we get together like that. Didn't y'all? It was a good weekend, good service. But I want to tell you, every church is autonomous. Cool Springs needs to tend to Cool Springs business. Amen? We don't need to meddle in Trail Branch's business or Pleasant Plains business or Bay Springs business or Oak Grove's business. Now, I'm the pastor down there, so I have to get involved a little. But let me tell you, it's a blessing when every church abides within its own boundaries, and we have good boundaries, and we're not trying to straighten other people. I tell you, one of the biggest problems Primitive Baptists have had over the centuries is a preacher getting to the point where he thinks he can kind of keep everybody else straight. Are y'all listening to me? I could tell you some preachers that are that way. And I've known of churches that thought they could, you know, we are, I'll tell you about a church that I knew about in Tennessee. The pastor told me one time, he said, our church is a model church. I ducked. Yes, sir. He said, our church is a model church. We're the flagship of all other churches in Tennessee. Brother, that's pride. That's dangerous. And that church ended up splitting three ways to Sunday. And now hardly a handful of people meet there. Let's all just try to be clothed with humility. Would you all say amen to that? Amen. Not think of ourselves as being something special. So, the apostle says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Now, y'all told me a few minutes ago, y'all need grace. I need it. And God gives grace to who? To the humble. To those who know they need grace. What is grace? Can you buy it at Walmart? You can't even buy it at Dillard's. That's a fancy store, you know it. But there's no grace for sale in New York City or London, England. Grace is free. It's an unmerited favor. And God gives it freely to the humble. I love that. God giveth grace to the humble. Let's see now, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Whew. I think it would pay us all to do that, wouldn't you? The mighty hand of God. Not the weak hand of God, the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, that He, listen to this, that He may exalt you in due time. You know the way up in God's kingdom is down. And as you go down and humble yourselves, then God begins to lift you up. But he that exalteth himself, Jesus said, shall be abased. And so it's very important that we humble ourselves. Now he says, casting all your care. Listen to this, beloved. Casting all your care. Does anybody in the house today have any care? And the word care, I think, probably refers to worries or things that you're concerned deeply about. See, the word be careful for nothing. The word care or careful has two meanings in English. Obviously, if you're going to get in a plane and fly somewhere, you want that pilot to be careful, don't you? You want him to test all the equipment. Brother Brian could tell us all about that. You want to get on a plane that has been given careful attention. And we keep hearing, it seems like every day lately we hear about a plane that's crashing somewhere. Not the big ones so far. I mean, yeah, they'll fall too if they're not cared for. So the word careful can have a good meaning. You want a mother that's careful about the care of her children. But then the word careful can also mean anxiety. When Paul said be careful for nothing, he's not telling you to be careless. He's just saying don't be full of anxiety. Don't be full of worry. And how many of us find it easy to worry? Goodness, that's a besetting sin, isn't it? Easily besetting sin. And so the Apostle Peter tells us what to do with our cares, casting all your care upon Him. You've got cares. You may have financial problems. That's a big care. You know, if you don't have enough money to pay the bills and you don't even have enough money to go to the store and buy groceries, that is a serious care. But I want to tell you, there's a God in heaven that can feed the hungry. How many of y'all believe that? Or do y'all think that's just a myth? I love the story of the widow who was praying to God for food. And her atheist neighbor didn't believe in God, but he thought he would play a big joke on her. And so he brought a sack full of groceries and left it on her front porch. And when she came out in the morning and found the groceries, she said, "Praise God, thank God." And the atheist came out from behind a tree and said, "God didn't send that. I brought it to you." And she said, "Lord, thank you for the food, even though the devil delivered it." How many of y'all believe God can take care of us? Now, listen, if he could feed 2 to 3 million Hebrews in the wilderness for 40 years, I read one time how many train loads of food it would take to feed 2 to 3 million people for one day. I mean, it's a lot of food. That was the longest running miracle in the Bible. You know, there's a lot of miracles. Jesus fed the 5,000 with the little boy's lunch. That was not a long miracle, but it was a big one. But here's a long-running miracle. 40 years, God rained bread out of heaven. Now, those foolish Hebrews complained about it after a while and murmured and got to wanting the onions and the garlic and the melons of Egypt. And said, "Would to God we'd have stayed in Egypt." Now that's a bunch of dumb people, if you want to know what I believe about them. And they got in big trouble, didn't they? You and I shouldn't be murmuring. How many of y'all agree with that? How many of y'all struggle with it? You know what? We'll write our blessings in the sand, and we'll write our complaints in granite. Let me tell you, it's dangerous to complain and murmur. You may not have what your neighbor's got. You may not have what you want. But I tell you what, you've got what you need. God provides. We're talking about a God that cares for us. The Bible says he does care for us. And now the Apostle Peter is telling us what to do with our worries, with our anxieties. And listen. If you got kids and grandkids, you probably got some of those. James, my grandson, had a concussion recently in a football game, and he struggled to get over it. And I've been praying for him, and I hope you all have. I think I asked you all to pray for James. And I got word last night that his headaches have almost gone, and he was able to go watch a game. It wouldn't bother me in the least if he decided not to play anymore. Amen. But he loves the game. And I've been concerned about it, but I've tried to cast that on God because he can do something about it. Amen. He can. And brothers and sisters, when you get older in life, I tell you, old age, I've said it a lot of times, the road to old age is bumpy. And you can have all kinds of aches and pains and troubles that you never dreamed of when you were young. But let me tell you, God is the God of the old as well as he is the young. God makes a way, doesn't he? I think about my brother Aaron and Retha May, how God provided for them. They didn't want much of it. It didn't take much to please them. Y'all remember that? I was thinking this week about my brother Aaron when I was a little boy. You know, he's a lot older than me. And I remember one day I was out in the front yard and he was coming by and Aaron gave me a quarter. You say, "Well, Brother Sam, that's nothing. As Brother Caleb told us, what can you buy with a quarter?" But let me tell you, when I was a little boy, a quarter was as big as a wagon wheel. And I've never forgotten it to this day. I want y'all to be thoughtful of children. they won't ever forget your kindness. They may not express it or show it, but in my mind, I remember my brother Aaron giving me that quarter. And God provided for them in their old age, and He's going to provide for all of us. But you and I just need to learn to cast our cares on Him. You say, now, Sam, I believe in God. I believe there is a God, but I just got to worry a little. Well, go ahead and enjoy it if you can. But it's not going to be good for your health. It's just blessed to cast all your cares upon Him. Why? Listen to this. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Have I got a witness this morning in this house? Has God cared for us all the days of our lives? From the moment we were born until this moment, He has cared for us. I'd just like someday to write a memoir of my life and just try to identify all the blessings, but it would fill the Library of Congress. The blessings of God. May God help you and me today to humble ourselves and cast all our cares on Him. And see, y'all need to hear this every day, because I can guarantee you, probably by this afternoon, y'all going to be tempted to worry about something, right? See, Satan is on the job. And his job is to fill our minds with care and worry and fret. But you and I need to cast it all on Him, knowing He cares for us. Thank you all for your wonderful attention today.